Hello, my name is Emily, and I am honored to read Laura Arnold's testimony today. My mother cut her hand on a milk bottle about 3 weeks before I was born and lost a lot of blood. This is the only event we know of which could have led to the trauma surrounding my birth. Doctors worked to revive me after I was born. The lack of oxygen during this time resulted in my having cerebral palsy. When I was a year old, a neurologist told my mother, after an initial examination of me, no tests or anything, that I was going to be an idiot. In those days, idiot was a legitimate psychological term. His diagnosis was right, just not in the way he thought. My mother, thankfully, didn't believe him and took me home and started working with me. By my responses, it was clear to her that I knew what she was saying. My father left my mother in Oklahoma with two preteens, a three-year-old, and a baby on the way. This was in 1957, and we came to Bradenton to be near my grandmother. We never saw my father again. We lived in a small trailer. Mom worked, sometimes more than one job, to provide for us. A year later, though I had had therapy before then, I started school at a rehabilitation center. It was great for a while. I got my education, along with much-needed physical, speech, and occupational therapy. During this time, we started going to an Assembly of God church. They prayed for me often there. I imagine the people thought their prayers weren't answered because I wasn't healed right away. However, little did they know, the Lord would use those prayers throughout my life to heal, protect, and save me. Later on, our family attended York Drive Presbyterian Church. We stopped going to this church for a while. However, the Lord would eventually lead us back there in His own good time. When I was in the fifth grade, the principal of the school decided that disabled children didn't need an education. From then on, we had very little academics at all. A few years passed, and my best friend Terry had gone on to public school. I, too, wanted to go, but no one outside my family thought I could succeed in such an environment. However, Terry's teacher consented to take me as a student. In the fall of 1968, I started school at Prine Elementary. I enjoyed the first week and thought I did well, but that Friday, the principal told my mother I couldn't come back. I was devastated. I cried a lot and tried going back to my former school, but I just couldn't stay there. In a few months, I stopped going and tried to study on my own. One night, months later, my mother said, "If you want to go back to school, why don't you do something about it?" So I wrote a letter to the Manatee County Superintendent of Schools. I asked him if the school system was willing to provide students who dropped out of school with an education, why couldn't it provide me with one? By God's grace, school officials eventually allowed me to return to my class. The next 2 years, I attended Bayshore Middle School. I graduated Southeast in 1975, 4 years later than I was supposed to. When I was 17, I attended a Pentecostal church and really understood the gospel for the first time, accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, and was baptized. However, the church didn't think I was saved because, according to their doctrine, I had to speak in tongues as a sign I was saved. The Holy Spirit told me that wasn't true, and so I started going to other churches. It would be a while before I found a church that matched the vision God had given me about how the Christian life should be lived. I attended Manatee Community College, the University of South Florida, majoring in social work in the area of advocacy. In 1981, I started watching D. James Kennedy on TV. I loved his sermons about the Christian worldview and how we were to bring Christ's light into every aspect of life. My mother and I went back to the little church on York Drive, which had become Hope Presbyterian and a PCA church. We fell in love with the pastor and his wife. I have a strange set of abilities and disabilities. I'm not able to do much in my chair because I've always learned to get around without it at home, crawling and then walking on my knees. It's easier to make my bed and clean the bathroom than it is to hold a glass or eat. Much of my food has to be blended. I've worked as a social worker, a computer lab assistant, and an editorial assistant. However, I think my most important role was in helping my mother. For many years, we took care of each other. Mom had brittle diabetes, and frequently her sugar would drop too low, resulting in insulin reactions. Many times I would have to call family, friends, neighbors, even 911 sometimes to help get her blood sugar up. In her last years of life, Mom was in a wheelchair and was almost blind. My siblings and I all pitched in to help her to keep her in her own home. We were thankful to be able to help my mother in this stage of her life after all she'd done for us throughout ours. When Mom went to be with the Lord, I stayed in the home I'd been in for 40 years. No one would have ever thought I would be able to live alone, including me. However, by God's grace, I've been able to, too, with the help of my sister and brother, my assistant, who comes in the evenings and cooks for me, and my friends from Harbor. The best way to sum up what the Lord has done in my life is with these two verses of Scripture. You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. Genesis 50:20. And, now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Ephesians 3:20. Thank you, Emily, for reading my story again, and thank you all for listening.